Greenside, the IGA podcast.
Also, Mike McCoy, the 2013
U.S. Johnson, now a two-time major champion after becoming the winner of the 144th Open Championship.
All right, welcome to Greenside, the IGA podcast. Clint Brown here with you with Ethan Bloomy. Ethan recently won our Iowa Junior Amateur and also is going to be headed to the U.S. Junior Championship down in South Carolina. Ethan, how are you?
Good.
Well, thanks for taking a little time here before the 4th of July holiday gets underway to join us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of where you're from and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so born and raised in Bendorf, Iowa. Going to be a junior in this upcoming year at Pleasant Valley High School. And just basically been playing golf my whole life, majority of it at Davenport Country Club.
That's a good place to learn. Good club and a lot of good players that you can use as mentors, can't you?
Yep, definitely.
For sure. Well, you've been on kind of a tear lately. The U.S. Junior qualifier at Ames Golf and Country Club, were able to get through that. Probably a pretty good feeling to move on to a national championship anytime you can do that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I was playing, I got lucky because the two guys in my group were really nice and we were all kind of rooting each other on. And, you know, I started off like 1 over through 5 and I was like, oh, I need something special. And then I rammed off 4 straight birdies to end the front 9. I was like, oh, I might actually have a chance now.
Are you the kind that kind of watches the scoreboard? Do you kind of know where you stood most of that day, or were you just taking it kind of one hole at a time and trying to make as many birdies as you could?
I really do like looking at the scoreboard. I just, not every single hole, but like I do like knowing where I'm at and knowing if I need to be a little more aggressive or if I have the ability to play a little more conservative if I'm near the top.
Coming down the stretch, you said you kind of knew where you stood. Was it a matter of just, you know, taking it one hole at a time, or were you like, hey, I need to be aggressive, or what was kind of the mindset coming down the stretch there?
Well, down the stretch, I knew that, you know, with how it was getting really windy, especially at that course where there's no trees to block it off, I knew the scores would be a little higher to qualify than I originally thought. Mm-hmm. And so after being like 3 under through 12, I was just like, that's when I was just playing it hole by hole. Because I knew that if I just played my last like 6 holes, like even par or under, I felt like I had a pretty good shot at qualifying.
The U.S. Junior AM is going to be held at Daniel Island Club in South Carolina. Ethan, have you played in South Carolina at all? Do you know anything about the course? Or you just looking, itching to get out there?
No, I have never played down in South Carolina, but I have been watching all the like course flyovers. And, you know, we're going to get down there about 4 or 5 days early so I can play each of the course either once or twice. So I am really excited about it, though.
Right. That'll be at the end of July here. You got a few weeks to gear up for that, but I'm sure you're looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, moving ahead, our Iowa Junior Amateur come from behind. I think you were down maybe 1 stroke going into the last round, if I looked at my notes right, and were able to win by 2, shot rounds of 69, 67, 69 at Pheasant Ridge and Cedar Falls. Ethan, kind of a course you can kind of get after, can't you? You got to be careful, but you can make some birdies.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I knew going into the course that I knew the scores were going to be low, but I also knew that based off my history out there, like my best ever round is out there. So I knew that I could go low out there. So definitely fit my eye, and it was nice to be at a familiar course.
Did you feel, you know, kind of knowing you could shoot a good score there that you had to get after it early? Did you kind of feel like somebody would, you know, there would be a lot of guys shooting good scores?
Yeah, I definitely did think there was going to be a lot of guys shooting scores, but no way that I thought that, you know, I'd shoot 11 under and only win by 2. Like, I was shocked. Like, I shot pretty good score the first day for the conditions, mm-hmm. shot 3 under. And, I mean, I was still 2 back. And I was just like, yeah, mm-hmm. got to probably do it every other day, too.
Is that easier for you knowing that you know, hey, I got to make as many birdies as I can as opposed to, you know, hey, if I can stay around par, that's good. Is it tough, you know, depending on, you know, the course conditions and the field? Which do you prefer? Do you prefer having a tournament where it's like, hey, I got to make a ton of birdies, or do you prefer to kind of, you know, grind out a lot of pars?
You know, I think being a member at Davenport, definitely just grinding out a bunch of pars is 100% what you have to do out there. Like, we had a U.S. Open local qualifier out there, and only one person went under par, and that was the teaching pro out there.
Right.
So I think you definitely have that, but I also think that making a lot of birdies can also help me, because, like, our home course for high school is, like, 6,200 yards. And if you want to do well in qualifying, you just have to go low out there. You can't expect a 75 will just make it good.
Sure.
So I think both ways, you have to kind of have a different game plan. But I think if I have a good game plan and I'm just hitting my shots, that I feel like I can compete on both of the different levels.
Well, you kind of led me into this question already, but you know, you've finished with 11 under. If I would have told you at 11 under was going to win before the tournament started, you probably would have believed that, but only winning by two, you had to keep your nose down and not look back, didn't you?
Oh yeah. I mean, 100%. Like, I was like the last group, especially like on the second day, and Drew was like the first guy out, and he posted at 9 under, and I was on like hole 6, and I was like, yep, I just got to go low. And it was just, I mean, I kept my mistakes minimal. I knew doubles would absolutely kill. And so I just made sure, like, when I got into trouble, just if I make a par, great, and if I make a bogey, that's okay, and I can just move on to the next.
Well, you led me into my next question. You had no doubles, and that's critical to tournament golf, isn't it? Because you can bounce back from a bogey or two here and there, but a double, man, those just sink rounds, don't they?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm pretty sure, if I remember, I didn't lose a ball ever, so that also was up. I don't think I took any penalty strokes.
Okay.
But yeah, just first couple of days, I had my practice round, and I had like something happen to my back during a swing, and I was just couldn't get through it. So I actually couldn't play a practice round, and I was still kind of going through it. Like, so especially like the first like four holes in the last day, I was hitting like dead slices because I couldn't get through it. And then once that got better, then I was able to hit my driver straight. But it was those first four holes where I was just like really trying to grind out just pars or even a bogey, because I was in the dead smack of those trees on the first four holes.
Your back, is that something that just kind of popped up, or is that something you've kind of been battling, you know, this year?
No, definitely not. It was just really random. It happened. I was just on 12T hitting a shot, and something just popped. It was really bad for like a week now, but thankfully it's good now.
Good. Good. Ethan, are you the kind of guy that likes to go to the range and, you know, hit a lot of balls and kind of figure things out from there? Or are you one that like would rather just go out and play and kind of go from there?
Yeah. I feel like it's a lot different from most of the young guys this point in time, but especially compared to most of the top guys. But if I have 6 hours in a day, I'm playing for six and I'm practicing for none. If I'm struggling with something, then I'll hit the range or I'll put a little bit. But if I'm feeling even average or better about my game, I'm always on the course. And I feel like I've done that my whole life, and I feel like it's kind of helped me because I've really learned how to score.
What would you say is probably your strength of your game?
Currently, it's definitely my irons. I mean, I was looking at my strokes gained after I put all my rounds in to the Iowa Junior Am, and I was around about zero. Didn't gain any, didn't lose any on driving around the green and putting. But I gained like over like 14 strokes over the 3 days approach to green compared to top 25 college.
Okay.
So I mean, I think that was just a huge thing for me because I was putting a lot less stress on the putter, which I think also led me to, I only had 1 3-putt in the 54 holes. So.
Okay. Cool. Ethan, when you're not playing golf and on the tournament trail, what do you like to do outside of golf?
You know, it hasn't been a thing that I've been doing for a long time, but I've really fallen in love with just like whenever me and my dad are out of town and we have nothing to do, we just go bowling.
There you go.
And I think it's, yeah, I've got a couple of friends who decided to join the bowling team for fun. And so we've been going out lately a little more often. And I've been loving it. So it's kind of became a new hobby for me.
Okay. Is that something you've literally just picked up recently, or have you bowled you know, previously to this summer?
No, I mean, I picked this up probably only in like March or February. Before that, it was like a once a year thing.
Sure.
But I've always had fun with it, but it's just like haven't really had time to do it.
Well, that's interesting. I actually know a few golfers that are also bowlers, and I think maybe it just helps with tempo maybe a little bit, you know, just with, you know, just being athletic and, you know, having a good tempo.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Ethan, who's some of your favorite golfers or guys that you kind of keep an eye on or keep track of, or maybe even, you know, try and, you know, take maybe some of their game from?
So my best part of my game for like almost my whole life has been my putting. And I have been struggling with it for a little bit. And I think, I don't know if he still is, but the number one putter on tour is Denny McCarthy. And I live like 20 minutes away from the John Deere Classic.
Right.
So I got to follow him all of last year. And I feel like just me and him have a very, very similar like skill set and game, like on how we depict courses. So I really like watching him a lot, especially in person. And then a lot of my like my dad's friends, they always compare me to Victor Hovland.
Okay.
They always say we have kind of like the same different like movements and how we act on the course. So
sure.
I guess, you know, he's got to be up there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar demeanor anyway. That's cool. Ethan, what advice would you give, you know, maybe a junior golfer that's, you know, just kind of starting, you know, to play maybe a little more competitively or wants to, you know, wants to get to that level. What advice would you give them?
You got to be mentally strong. I mean, when my summer going into freshman year, I think I was averaging maybe like 76.5 to like 77 in my tournament rounds. And then I get into my high school and, you know, it is a whole different ball game going from just always individual to going into a team setting.
Yep.
But my mental game just kind of like plummeted for a little reason. And my strokes average went like 4 strokes up. And so I just really focused on a lot of my mental game, a little more than physical during the winter. And I think that's the thing that's just really helped me skyrocket too.
Cool. Yeah. So the John Deere Classic. It's always interesting. I've been to that course a handful of times, Ethan. I used to volunteer at that tournament for years, and I'm always just impressed how low those guys go with that course. Because it's not, I mean, it's not a pitch and putt course by any means, is it?
No, I mean, but those guys, like every single guy on the tour is so good at driving the golf ball.
Yep.
And really, if you're in position off the tee there, it's pretty scoreable because the greens, there's not a lot of undulations on them.
Right.
And especially with their wedges, like they're not going to miss a whole lot of greens.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do miss a green, you do get penalized. But if you do hit the green, a lot of the times it can roll in a lot of putts.
You can make some putts and you can have a lot of looks. I would agree with that. But
definitely.
I used to volunteer on number 3, that par 3. And I remember guys got it. They'd grab their par and get out of there as quick as they could.
Yeah, definitely. There is those couple of tough holes. Like you got 3.
I think 9's a tough hole too. I think 3 and 9 are tough holes.
Yeah, 9's definitely another beast because, like, especially for like some of the like when we have the junior tournament out there, you can hit driver into that choke point.
Uh-huh.
But really, it gets so tight. Like, I mean, I think I went last year. I think I went like 3 wood on that hole.
Yeah,
just like hit it to the top, and then you still have 220 in, which for a freshman, that's normally a wood or even maybe a long iron, but
right. It's a demanding hole for sure. So
yes.
Well, Ethan, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. Good luck the rest of this summer, and obviously down over in South Carolina at the U.S. Junior, we'll be watching, and hopefully you get into match play and make some noise.
Yep, definitely got to represent for the Iowa kids here.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Good luck, and we'll see you down the trail.
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Before we wrap up the podcast, bring you up to speed on a couple things. We had our IGA Men's and Women's Match Play Championships out at Talons Golf in Ankeny. On the women's side, Hannah Bermel from Cedar Falls defeated Paige Hoffman. And on the men's side, Zach May of Ames defeated Connor Peck in a back-and-forth match. Both those victories were well-earned over several days of golf and long matches. Had some hot weather, and both champions were very well-deserving. So let's hear from them.
I'm joined by Hannah Bermel of Cedar Falls, coming off a victory at the 12th IGA Women's Match Play Championship over Paige Hoffman. Hannah, talk me through the week. It's a lot of golf. It's a lot of matches. How did you prepare for this?
It is a lot of golf. The good thing is we have this whole course for ourselves. So just being able to come out qualifying round and get one round in, and then I was lucky enough to have Wednesday off and just to practice a little in between, and then to show up on Thursday with some matches to prepare me for today. Obviously, it's a different type of golf, the match play. I think you just gotta have fun and make putts when you can, and that's what I tried to do.
Mm-hmm. You've played in this championship before, and this is your first time being able to bring home the title. Is there anything that you did differently this time around, or any experiences you pulled from in past championships that help you bring home the title this week?
I think just being able to play here again and have that previous ability to play here, just know the course a little bit better, was what helped me out mostly.
You're now a two-time IGA champion after winning the 2019 four-ball championship with your sister Haley. Moving towards the Iowa Women's Am next month in July, how are you feeling? Do you think this win is going to be a springboard for the Women's Am?
I hope so. The goal is to make it 3 in July.
Well, Zach, long week of golf, but you're probably used to it, playing a lot of college events and stuff. But what was just the keys for you this week, simple?
I thought just for the week, I just thought for me it was this really good opportunity to compete and play some golf. And I thought from the start I hit the ball really well, especially for the week, hit it really well every round. So I thought that was a key, especially drove it well around here. I hit a lot of wedges, so wedged it pretty good too. Gave myself plenty of looks, probably didn't putt it as well as I would like, but still gave myself plenty of looks. So that was really the key, ball striking wise.
Talked to a few of the guys, and you know, with these greens, you just it's not so much being close, but you just got to be in the right position. Was that would you agree
that? Especially some of the pins, like there were some good ones out there, and also some gettable ones. So I think it was just like picking your holes and where you're gonna go at some flags and try and make some birdies. So I think there was plenty of reward for good shots, and also got penalized as well if you were just a little bit off at times.
After your qualifying round, did you feel like this is a course with match play, you know, with your length, that you know you could kind of get after and make some birdies and win some matches?
No, definitely. I thought after that, it was my first look around it in the qualifying round. So once I got through that and just like at least saw the place, I didn't really think I played very well in the qualifying, but I guess it was my first look. And then once I'd seen it, I felt really comfortable around it. So it was enough width off the tee, and which is kind of nice for me, so I can kind of go after a few, so that was good, I thought.
I thought your finals match, you know, you put yourself in great position off the tee. I don't want to speak for you, but you probably didn't wedge it as well as you wanted to, but I thought you hung around. You kind of made a putt when you needed to, didn't let Connor get, you know, 2 up, 3 up. You kind of kept it within distance, and then you closed pretty good, I thought.
It's definitely the key with match play. We play a lot of match play back at home, so definitely used to it, but I reckon, well, key for me is if you're ever one down, if you're ever playing the last, like you're always in the game. So I just tried to get it to go down the last, and then we did, and kind of managed to push a little further and tip it right at the end. But so I was happy with that.
Looking back with match play, it seems like there's always a match you kind of look back on and be like, you know, okay, that was the match I had to win, but I needed to win, and I was able to. Was there a match that you kind of look back now and thought, yeah, that was the one I needed?
I thought, to be honest, I had a lot of tough matchups this week. I played really well, I thought. I had a lot of tough matchups that went deep, and I had to play out my skin a lot to beat some of these guys. So I thought for the week I played really well, so I was really happy with that. Yeah.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.